I'm going to be talking about a word that we know so well. We love the word, but you know that death and life depend on this word? What word could that be? Can you figure it out? How about faith? That is so important. Now, we believe that we have got a pretty good handle on describing what faith is like. But you know what? Over the last couple of weeks, I've been checking it out, been studying it, and found out it's not really that simple. It's not really something that you got faith. Now, the thing of it is, this morning it's so big that we only be able to scratch the surface. So let's do a little scratching this morning. And I trust that it'll be as encouraging to you as it has been to me. We're told that in Hebrews 11:1, we have the most accurate definition of faith in the Bible. So we'll read Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm like, okay, that's the most accurate one, but what does it mean? So I saw three key words there, and so we're going to look at those. Substance, hope, and evidence. To me, it's like, that's why I say, duh. What is that talking about? So we'll look at substance. Substance actually happens to be a scientific name of that which is based on facts. Substance. The facts of faith, of what it is based on. Where do we get the facts? And what are the facts that we're looking for? You think of Pilate. Jesus was before him. And he says to Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? What is faith? What is truth? Did he get the answer? He asked the right person, but he didn't get an answer. Why didn't he get an answer from Jesus? He didn't wait for it. That's all. He didn't wait for it. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus would have explained what truth was to him? Everything would have changed. So he didn't ask. He didn't wait for the right answer. But you know, there's myriads of philosophers who try to explain truth. Try to explain it. Plato, Socrates, Cicero, Tolstoy, so many of them. Do you know that most of them are either agnostics or atheists? And there's many others who young people learn about in college. They don't talk about the Bible college. Oh, no. We're not going to do that. But we're going to talk about these guys and their philosophies. And you know what? When you study that, they tell you so much stuff, and you're told by your professors that they're the ones who know the truth. So listen to them. But you know what their philosophies do? They just confuse the people who are truly searching for the truth. And like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:22, he says, these people who profess to be wise really are fools. Why is it that they're fools? Why is it that they don't have the truth? They don't give out the truth. It's because they don't get their facts from the right source. Where should they look? Where should we look? What is the right source? Turns out that actually God tells us where to find the facts for our faith. And so we look and see, what does God say? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was who? God. So if we're looking in the Word, we're going to find out what God said. Would God know the truth? Oh yeah, he knows where our faith should be found. And in Hebrews 6:18, this same God who tells us the Word, it's impossible for him to lie. Therefore, we can trust everything that he says. Do the philosophers go there? No. Do the professors go there? No. And then we go to Joshua 23:14. I love this verse. You know, now Joshua is talking to the Israelites after leading them, helping lead them for 40 years. And he says, you know, in all of your hearts and in all of your souls, I mean, this is deep, that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. Not one has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Therefore, God is trustworthy. He is where we get our faith from because he is so faithful. And then in Isaiah 40, verse 8, Isaiah was inspired to write this, let us know that the word of our God stands, it was just said this morning, forever. The word of our God stands forever. That's where we get our faith from. And 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. It was not written by man, by their thoughts and what they were going through. No, it was what God breathed into them to write. And it was so accurate. And then Proverbs 2:6. It says, the Lord giveth wisdom, where from? Out of his mouth. Isn't that where we're looking for truth from? For wisdom from? Out of his mouth. And cometh knowledge and understanding out of his mouth. So, we see what the source should be. The facts for our faith should be found in God's word. That's the only place. That's the only place where we're going to find the facts. The substance of the facts should be built on God's word. And then the second word was hope. What is hope? The kind of hope that the world talks about is, I hope so. I hope it's true. I hope it's going to happen. I wish it were true. That's the hope the world talks about. But who really pushes that? Big, big, big time. Ever since kids are small kids. Walt Disney and all of his movies, all of his stories with an agenda. You can have whatever you want, whatever you dream for. Just dream. You can become anything you want. Just make sure to believe in yourself. I saw this on a shirt the other day in Kohl's. Believe in yourself. How good is that? I wouldn't believe in myself. No way. And so that kind of faith isn't worth squat. Not worth a thing. And then you go to the superheroes. And they are so superhero that it's to brainwash the kids to think that there really are superhumans. You don't need God. You just need to call on your superhuman. I thought it was interesting because the day before yesterday I found out that there's going to be another Superman movie made. And it's going to be according to woke. You know what it is? It's going to be black. Therefore, your superhuman is going to be black. He's going to be a lot better. But the one that really bothers me the most is Santa Claus. They make him to be omnipresent, omniscient, very divine, because he sees us when we're sleeping, he sees us when we're awake. He knows if we've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sakes. Otherwise, you might not get your present that you want. The songs may be very cute. They're very singable. But some of the words, I don't know if you've noticed, but they're blasphemous. They're blasphemous. I'm hearing these songs in Walmart as we walk down at Christmas time. I'm like, whoa, that hurts. No, he doesn't know that. Santa is not even real. And yet you talk to the kids and the parents hear you say that the Santa's not real. They'll get furious. You don't dare say that on TV. Everybody would be down your neck. And so hope defined. It's not the hope that we know of in the world. It's not, I hope so. That would be so unsure, so ambiguous. A wish it were true worldview is just not what we're talking about at all. But the hope that we're talking about is a concrete conviction. We know so. Based on what? Based on the powerful, unshakable, rock-solid Word of God. That's where our faith has to come from. If it comes from anywhere else, it's not biblical, it's not right. Evidence. That's the third word. This word actually turns out to be very deep. It speaks to the heart of what faith should mean to us. The word translated evidence comes from a Greek word that I won't even try to say. But it is meant the proof. The proof. The evidence is the proof. The facts by which a thing rests on or is tested by or is proved. Evidence is something that one takes to court to prove a case. We've heard of that a lot. What evidence do you have? If you go to court, you better have the right evidence. It also refers to a title deed or a legal document guaranteeing the right to possess something that has been promised to us. I promise that if you pay for the house, it'll be yours. You paid for the house, here's the title. The house is yours. So it refers to what is rightfully ours. So we go to the Word to find out, what has God promised? Oh, that's rightfully mine? That's mine. And so it refers to how salvation becomes rightfully ours. How does it become rightfully ours? Salvation is rightfully mine. But did I pay for it? Like I paid for a house? No, I didn't pay for it. It's free. But this is not rightfully yours. Free. It costs somebody. We didn't pay for it, but Jesus paid for it. How did he pay for it? With his blood. With his blood. It was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore my salvation is rightfully mine. So that's the proof. The evidence is the proof. The evidence is something that one takes to court to prove a case, and the evidence refers to a title deed or a legal document. A legal document. That is what God has given us. And he has promised us these things, and it's legally ours. Why? Because he said so. That's where our faith comes from. Evidence of things not seen. We see so much going wrong in the world today. Amid the global pandemic, this woke theory, critical race theory, Antifa, BLM, what do you think the truth is there? Should our faith be in that? Is that found in the Bible? None of it. None of it at all. It's opposite of what the Word of God says. And if it's opposite the Word of God, what is it? It comes from the devil himself. That's where it comes from. That's why everything is stirred up. Everybody is anxious and getting mad at each other. They protest, they break in, they kill, they do all kinds of things. Why? What's behind that? Satan. Talking this morning about, will he be limited? Will Satan be limited? He won't be limited. God has given him control to do what he wants. Not control over everything, but as far as God is going to allow. So, by faith, we see so much that the world doesn't see. Let not your heart be troubled. The world has no idea that God is in control. They think nobody's in control. It's all out of control. But we know that he is in control because of what the Word of God says. And this faith is what allows us to stand on this, the promises of God, and rest in his security, rest in his peace, his provision, his mercy, his grace, his salvation. That's what we have. That's what our faith tells us. So our faith causes us to enjoy all of these things now without fear. I really think it's going to get pretty bad against Christians. The things that I see that they're trying to do in Congress, the laws that you're trying to pass and everything, if some of those pass, we are in trouble. So what are we going to do? We're going to crumble? We're going to cry? We're going to put our tail between our legs and say, woe is me. I'm a Christian. I better keep quiet. It's kind of interesting. We were visiting with Jay. We talked about Jay a little bit ago. Just the other day, and boy, he came out really strong. He says, we should be proactive evangelists. We should be going out there amongst the people who are confused and who have all these problems and tell them where their faith should be. Tell them what the Bible says. Tell them what God says. Introduce them to God. And he knows that he's got limited time because of his cancer. And he wants to get this message across. Guys, get out there and evangelize. I loved it. Really spoke to me, because in these days it's kind of like, kind of keep quiet or you're going to be mocked. People are going to think little of you. So what? Be proactive. So faith in the invisible. That was one of the things that I said, talking about the evidence of things not seen. I love this verse that really talks clearly of that. 1 Peter 1:8, you love him even though what? You haven't seen him. You've never seen him. But you love him. Though you do not see him now, you trust, you believe, and you rejoice with a glorious Are we doing this? A glorious, inexpressible joy. And you know what? We're going to be blessed for having that kind of faith. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. Difference between life and death. As Joshua's words remind us that none of the Lord's promises fail. They never will. He is so faithful. I think I am hearing the Lord telling us right now, my dear children, everything I've promised you, even though you don't see it now, evidence of things not seen, I want you to claim it and rejoice that it is already yours. Claim it. It's already yours. Jesus said He was going to prepare a place for us. You better believe it'll be ready when you get there. It will be there. It will be ready for you. That we'll be spending eternity in heaven with Him. Rejoice in that fact. Eternity with God. Like I was saying, the singing that's going to be there is going to be wonderful. And we'll get to hear it every day. And so, in fact, we will be spending eternity with Him in heaven. Consider it done. It's kind of interesting. The other day, Dan Royer, our chaplain, he was talking about his brother-in-law who had just died. And he said, you know what? His faith has now become sight. He was with us, going to pass away from us, but his faith now is sight. I love it. And we can take God's promises to the bank. What should we consider that kind of faith to be? Our core value, our DNA. That's supposed to be a DNA up there. Our DNA. That's who we are. That's who people need to see who we are. We not only believe in Jesus, but we show it through our life, through our speech, through our attitudes. Our DNA. The Lord said that to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And that's what Dan was talking about. Bill's faith had now become sight. I don't know if you ever think about this. What's it going to be like when we see Jesus? I kind of think like this. Maybe everybody will be around us. I don't know. Maybe it won't be just me and him. But I think it'll kind of be that way. Years ago, I was in Brazil just as sick as could be. My temperatures were 106. Nothing was working. I was taking malaria medicine. That wasn't helping one bit. And I didn't know why. Well, when I got delirious and was talking all kinds of silly things, I don't even know what I said. But when you're delirious, you don't know. You're out of your mind. Laura flew me to the States. And got here. And it took them about 4 days to find out what in the world I had. And they kept everybody out of there. I was quarantined, which I should have been. I should have never been allowed on that airplane. But that's a different part of the story. But anyway, my faith almost became sight. I remember very clearly that I was out of the room. I was going up and up and up and watching five people in white coats work on me. They didn't know I was gone. But I knew I was going and I was excited because it was such a wonderful feeling. Such a wonderful feeling. And yet, all of a sudden, and how this transpired, I don't know, but I think it's the way God is. I realized it wasn't going to be permanent. I was going to be able to go back to my body. And I remember very clearly, and again, how I say this and how, I don't know. I said, Lord, if it's not permanent, I'd like to go back now, or I'm not going to want to go back. It was that good. Faith. Faith that becomes sight of what you don't see now. So how important is our faith? 1 Peter verse 6 says, does it? Yes. In this you rejoice greatly. What do we rejoice greatly in? I don't know if you're rejoicing today. I hope you are. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, which is what? Much more precious than gold. Much more precious. Who is it precious to? To me? No, to God. To God. He's helping us get a genuineness of our faith Be really genuine when things go bad, when you're going through trials, when you're going through all kinds of things, stuff you don't understand. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep your faith solid. So what is the value of our faith to God? He says it's much more precious than gold, knowing how we value gold. He's just giving a comparison here. Gold is not so much. To him, we're going to be walking on it. But he says it's much more valuable, much more precious to him than we can even imagine. So what we want to do is to hang in there, no matter how tough things get. No matter how much we don't understand what is going on. Talking to somebody this week who's going through quite a bit. Going through cancer. But what is even more difficult for him is that this weekend, two of his children are coming to see him. It's like, yay! But you know what they told him? We lost the faith. I don't know if they actually had the faith. I don't know what happened. I know they went to Bible college. They lost the faith. How do you think that makes them feel? How do you think that makes them feel? That can happen, not if we're truly born again. Not if we're truly born again. And I think that's what happened way back, and it was not realized. Because I can't tell your faith. I can't tell what you believe. I can't tell if you're a Christian or not. By the outside, you're smiling, you're doing great. But inside, what's going on? Inside, what's going on? The Lord gave us something to be protecting us with. The shield of faith. Why do we need a shield of faith? He gave us all the other armor, but why did he give us the shield of faith? What did he say? To protect us from what? The darts of the enemy. Who's the enemy? And he's smarter than we are. He's more intelligent than we are. Satan is a wily devil, a true devil. And he knows how to get under our skin. And when he does, what are we going to do about it? We better have our shield ready, our armor ready to protect us from those darts of the wicked one. And the Lord talks very much about that. And yet, what is happening in our world? It's been talked about here. What is happening in churches? Some of the preachers are just teaching things from the culture. Instead of saying, be grounded in the Word of God. One that I used to go to his church, he was such a good preacher. He would go up and down the aisle preaching and just doing really good. The only reason I went to that church is because my dad was a greeter there. So I would say one message after another. He would do five messages. And each message, though he didn't have the scriptures with him, he was on the altar back up on the stage. He never missed a beat, never missed a word. The same enthusiasm, the same, you know, it was great. It was great, but seemingly he has turned away from the truth and going with our culture today. Because he is telling the young people, it's time to dump the faith of your fathers, the faith of your parents. Time to get your own faith. Time to find the truth where you want to find the truth. Is that where we find faith? Is that where we find truth? Never! Never, never, never. They're just going to give you all these philosophers who don't know God, who don't know the truth, and yet they're teaching you what they think the truth is. It's garbage. It's garbage. What should parents do in such a thing as that? I know when our daughters went to one of his classes, actually it was a Sunday school class in his church, they came back and they said, Dad, you know what we heard today? Marriage really isn't for life. It's a trial. If you hit it, miss it the first time, you can have a prenup and get somebody the next time. Did that come from the Word of God? It came from a church. Came from religious people. Was it truth? No. Why wasn't it truth? It wasn't based on the Word of God. That's where we have to get our truth from. What if we don't have any faith? What if we don't have any faith? like these kids that said, we've lost our faith. They grew up in a Christian home. They were missionary kids. They had heard and heard and heard and heard and heard. But if you don't have faith, you cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. He who comes to God must believe that He is. Does that sound pretty serious? Life or death, you cannot please God if you don't come to Him believing Him. You cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. In other words, if you cannot be saved, you can't get to heaven. Is this serious? Yeah. These kids knew all these things. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That's pretty clear. And that's what our faith is based on. Have. We have eternal life. So when God says, you will be with me throughout eternity, we know it. It's done. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Yeah, this is serious. And I tell you, if those young people do not get it right, they will be in hell. And they'll say, I should have known better. I was told, I heard. You know, it kind of reminds me of, you remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man, man, he had everything. And he had a table full of food and good times, good music, good dancing, whatever else rich people did back then. But there was a poor man, Lazarus, under his table, eating the garbage that fell, eating the food that was there. Well, as Jesus said, they both died, which we do. Then what happens? The rich man went to hell. Because he was rich? No. Lazarus went to heaven. The rich man looks up and he sees Lazarus in the arms of Abraham. And he says, Abraham, have him give me some water. Can't do it. The gulf between us is not reachable. Can't do it. Well, then at least send somebody to tell my brothers. I've got five brothers and they're not saved. It's not the word he used, but that's what he meant. They're not saved. I don't want them to come here. Send somebody to tell them, no, can't do it. Why? Is it too late for them? They're still alive. No, but they've got the God. They've got the prophets. They've got the scriptures. And they have not believed. They would not believe if I sent somebody resurrected from the dead. And that's what we don't know. What could happen today? We could be out there in a car wreck just like that. You guys probably heard what happened out here on 25th Street not long ago. Traffic all stopped for 6 hours. What had happened? This car, for whatever reason, I don't know, had hit a motorcycle, bumped him out of control, and he ran into the median. He was okay, evidently. So a good Samaritan lady got out and went to help him. And then the driver that had hit the guy in the first place, he turned around, comes back, and kills both of them. We don't know what's going to happen. And you know what that lady was right down here from the, what is that church down here? Just right down the street here a little bit. I forget what it is. But anyway, good church. Was she saved? I don't know. But who was saved there? It doesn't matter. It's too late. And so that's why you better, while we have our lives, get your act together and believe. It may be difficult. We'll see later how difficult it is to have faith. So, the other thing is, can't get to heaven. You cannot have eternal life. No way. No way. It's going to be eternity in hell. See what I mean? Faith is a serious subject. You cannot get to God. I am the way, Jesus said. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I think what really got me started thinking about this is one of our dorm kids down at Putacaquara. He says, now, I don't know if I'm an atheist or if I'm agnostic. Probably an agnostic. I said, what are you talking about? He had gone thinking that he was going to have a ministry with young people from the college, local college, And this is right after he got out of Bible school. And he got confused by these philosophers that I'm talking about. And these students would say, well, you don't know about Plato, you don't know about Socrates or Socrates or whatever his name was. You don't know about Cicero, and here's what they said. And our teachers say they have the truth. And he said, I couldn't find the answer in the Bible, so the Bible doesn't have answers. So I don't want to follow that anymore. Like, what? The Bible has an answer for all of our needs. What was wrong? It's like Pilate. He didn't wait for an answer. This guy didn't look for the answers. The answers are there. I know, because I was the same thing when I went to the Moody Bible Institute. That was my ministry, is to go to university and talk with young people like that, kind of like Jay was doing and you were doing. And boy, I can tell you, they can really get you confused, get you all wrapped up. And I realized, you know what? They're not really listening anyway, just like the rich man and his brothers. They wouldn't listen anyway. Don't argue with them. Just give them the truth. And I think that's where my dorm child got mixed up. He tried to answer them. They're not listening anyway. So you can't get to God, you can't get to heaven, you can't have eternal life. You cannot please God. Not even please God. No matter how hard you try. So how difficult is it to get faith? It's a big word. It's an important word. How difficult is it? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's how difficult it is. Hear and believe. And he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's why I say that which we haven't seen yet, that which is unseen. Our faith is in that because we know that that's what he says. You will be passed. You were just passed from death unto life, and you'll not come into condemnation, but have everlasting life. That's what our faith is grounded on, substance. And the evidence is exactly what we can take to court. If when the Lord says, if he does this, but I've heard that, you know, if they say, well, what brings you to heaven? Why do you have the right to come to heaven? Because it's not me, it's based on Jesus Christ, what he did. Right. Come on in. So it's just hearing the word and believing. Not that big of a deal. But how sophisticated does our faith have to be? It must be very sophisticated, because after all, it's so important. It's so important. It's essential, and I have to have it. So how sophisticated is it? Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Sophisticated? Mark 10:14. When Jesus saw this, and the disciples were trying to keep any children to come from coming to him, he was irritated, and he said unto them, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. Why? For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Not so sophisticated. Luke 18:17. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. You can't be sophisticated. Believe with your whole heart. So what kind of faith is it? Childlike faith, unquestioning faith, faith of humility. In 1 Peter 5:6, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But you see that? We have to humble ourselves. It's not a gift. It's not something that we earn. It's not done for us. It is a choice that we make. We have to make that choice. And that's what it's based on. I love this picture. It's just probably from a movie or something, but I like it because the Lord is talking to these children with adults listening. I don't know if there are some of the disciples that tried to to limit them, don't come to Jesus, don't bother him, or what? But now they're listening to hear what the children are asking and how the Lord answers that. And they're listening to his every word. Makes me want to hear their questions and to hear Jesus' answer. But we're not there. And this one I really like the most because it brings back a memory. But I have to give you a little background first. When I was 3 years old, my parents took me to the jungles, the green hell of Brazil, they call it. So I'm growing up there, and down there in the jungles, we were actually on the border of Bolivia and Brazil, so I was learning Portuguese and Spanish. And as I was growing up, came to be 5 years old, and Dad used to take me up and down the rivers with him. There's an outboard motor, up the rivers, down the rivers, looking for Indians. And we'd see a shack, a palm shack there on the side of the river, and he'd take the boat in, run it up on the beach, and then we'd walk up there to the house. Ring the doorbell? No. There was no electricity. What would you do? You'd clap. That's the doorbell. People know, oh, there's somebody out there, and they're saying hi. They want to come in. So they would let us come in. They're so friendly. The Brazilian people that lived along the river is very, very friendly people. And they didn't get much company because they're out there all by themselves. And so Dad would say, do you know of any wild Indians that live around here? Wild Indians. The only good Indian is a dead Indian. What do you want the Indians for? And he said, I've got some good news to tell. Well, tell us the good news. We want to hear it too. And guess what the good news was? The gospel. And he'd given the gospel, and I saw a number of people come to know the Lord. And the change, you could see, they would come to town then and look up Dad, you know, to learn more about the Bible. What a change. And at 5 years old, that meant a lot to me. It was like, wow, this is really cool stuff. So, I went to bed one night. This is in our nice, comfortable house in the town of Guajará, meaning hot, really, really hot. And no fans, again, no electricity, no air conditioning. So I fall out of the top bunk onto the cement floor that Dad had made, and I hit my head so hard. I'm sitting there, am I alive or am I dead? And this was like, it's like the Lord talking to me. And I knew very clearly what it was. I knew the gospel. I believed the gospel, but I never told Jesus, I want you as my Savior. And I told him. And I knew I was saved. I never doubted it. Not only that, but looking back on that, I know that was the best choice I ever made in my whole life. I've never doubted that. I was saved. I was 5 years old, but I understood. So I saw there was a light under the door, and I went to the next room there, and Dad was sitting at the dining room table reading his Bible. And I said, Dad, I just accepted the Lord as my Savior. He said, praise the Lord, Dave, I've been waiting for that. He didn't want it to be his faith, but he wanted it to be my faith. And no, I've never doubted. And you know, another thing that I thought was interesting, at that time, right away I knew I wanted to be a missionary. Why? Because I'd seen what Dad did was an eternal, life-giving message. These people are going to heaven. What could be better than that? And I never, ever, ever changed with that passion to this day. That's the faith that we get standing on the Word of God. Let's never forget that. If things get really bad in this country for us, it comes from the Word of God. It's going to. It's going to. Don't let that slow your faith down at all. Make sure you have your shield ready for whatever people tell you to make you doubt, to make you question. It's not worth it. We only have one life. What are we going to do with that life? The only things that we do for Christ are what's going to last for eternity. Let's never forget that. Okay? Father, I just thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much for what all you did for us. What you've given us. We paid nothing for it, but you've given it to us. Lord, may we never forget that. May we always say, I love you, Lord, even though I haven't seen you yet, but I know what's coming. I know what's coming. I look forward to it. I claim it in my heart, knowing that your promises are true. They never fail. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for this Mother's Day. Just really thank you for the mothers that you gave us and for what they've taught us to love you, to walk with you, and to never forget our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.